it to your Visa. You smoothie, me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake up bomb. Cause we both know that it's mercy flows in the morning.
Serious.
Good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. And good morning, Tedline. Father God, we thank you for your day, another day to experience you, another day to get closer to you, another day to have the eyes of our understanding enlightened, that we might recognize, understand, obey you, your plans, your purposes on earth as they are in heaven. Another day to experience heaven on earth. Another day to exalt you, God, because you're Lord, King, Redeemer, and Savior. So, Father God, this morning we take this opportunity to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your goodness and your mercy and for everything that you've done, for what you're doing right now. And thank you for what you're going to do in the future. Thank you that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. And we bind them up right now from any source, living or dead, celestial, terrestrial, or however they may be. And we exalt you this morning. Thank you. Let me say this, brothers and sisters, tomorrow, when you come on the TED line, have your elements ready for Holy Communion. See, all of this started by God telling me to do Holy Communion coming up soon on the TED line. And Most of you know what happened because you helped me and you were a part of it and you were a part of the blessing too. But the way God gave me the man named Barton Stone is because the Great Awakening place, because back in the 1700s and 1800s, groups of ministers and ministries, Methodist, Presbyterian, of course, and Baptist, they would get together and they would have these meetings, and the meetings would always end in Holy Communion. Because I was trying to remember, how did it all start last night, into one of the TED-liners who's here, here with us this morning. I didn't wake her up. We got another one that's here from London, but they're at the hotel because they got trapped in Chicago by the bad weather, and the flight they were on was canceled. But they are here in Dalton, so whenever they wake up this morning, we'll pick them up from the hotel. They stayed in the hotel because the flight didn't get in here till, I think it was 11:55 or 12 o'clock, something like that. But I'm grateful to God, brothers and sisters. I'm grateful to God for his goodness. So that's what the whole thing started. That day I told you all we were going to take Holy Communion. And then God gave me that man's name, Barton Stone, who was the initiator of one of the greatest moves that's never really stopped in America, the Second Great Awakening. You know, the first one was Jonathan Edwards and Finian Whitfield and those guys. So tomorrow morning, have your elements ready. Whatever you do, some people use wine. Sometimes I use non-alcoholic wine, but I don't know where to get that here yet. We used to drive all the way to Charleston, non-alcoholic kosher wine. So we'll be using Welch's grape juice and crackers. So in the morning, prepare for Holy Communion, which will be officiated on the line by one of the other 10 line ministers. I mean, well, they're not, anyway, a minister on the 10 line. Tomorrow morning, Holy Communion, okay? Praise God. I want to play this song for you, and I'm really sincere about this song. I really, really love it. I had a website up with this song on it, but I took the website down, or I don't know what happened. I think I moved on. I want you to write down www.spirit2spirit. Visit that website when you have a chance. Oh, it's www.tedlinespirit. Okay, I'll put it in here. Tedline. Tedlinespirittospirit.com. That's it. Great. Thank you. Thank you, Jessica. www.tedlinespirittospirit.com. This is the teaching during the fast, but it's also for the basic training in the Ted Line Academy. And make sure you visit that link that says Holy Spirit, because if you didn't visit that link on the Ted Line, you won't understand what's happening on that website in depth. So just click on the link where it says reconnect to Holy Spirit power. And it's, you're going to find everything on there to take your understanding into this move or this wave that we're in. But prepare your hearts for this song. I got a word from the Lord this morning. Kind of unusual. But prepare your hearts with this song.
I'm going to be like my granddaddy one day.
I want the best wine.
I'm gonna sing this song. It goes like this. Listen.
Holy fire, burn away my desire for that thing that is not of you and is of me. I want more of you and less of me.
like my granddaddy one day.
I want the best wine.
I'm going to sing this song. It goes like this. Listen.
This morning, I want to talk about, go to Psalms chapter 25, verse 3. Psalms chapter 25, verse 3. You with me? Psalms chapter 25. Verse 3, or the 25th Psalm. The 25th Psalm. And the 3rd verse. Sorry. It says, yea, or yes. Let none that wait on thee be ashamed. You got that? Don't let anybody, God, that's waiting on you be ashamed. Now, when I personally lead people to the Lord Jesus, I always make sure, and I don't even know if I have it on here this morning. I should, because I always quote to them as I'm leading them to Jesus. Whosoever, Romans chapter 10, I think it's verse 14, that calleth upon the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed. That's what it says. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed. I never forgot that from the first time I got saved. I never forgot that. Just like I never forgot Romans chapter 10:11. It's Romans chapter 10:11. That's what it is, Jessica. Well, the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And I always tell people that because I want them to understand that they're new creation. And at least three or four places in the book of Romans, it keeps talking about not being ashamed. And brothers and sisters, that's going to have to be something that gets real embedded in your soul. Because when I went over there to Kentucky, and the I noticed that Pastor Krista preached on this at her church yesterday. Because that was the first thing God told me when my foot hit those grounds to tell whoever he was sending me that they were going to have to be courageous and strong. And one thing she probably forgot. So God was telling me over there in my mission to Kentucky, you're going to have to be courageous. You're going to have to be committed. And you're going to have to be strong. He meant in him. Because in myself, I'm not courageous. I was taught front your own fears from being in the Army, United States Army now the Army of the Lord. And that's what I had to tell a man that called me up last night from Nebraska. I could hear, and I hope you're listening this morning, I could hear his heart cry. I felt his pain. And all because the devil was beating up on him, trying to make him feel everything but what God told him to feel as a believer. Now, this brother, like most of the people that come to me for prayer. He knew God. He knew the word. But that devil had beaten him down. That's what he does to people. He beat, you know, when I was young, we used to say beat up. Somebody got beat up. Or did you beat somebody up, you know? But now, this generation, they talk about being beat down. That's bad. Because I meet so many people who have been beaten down. Standing. But their back is so low to the ground because they've just been beat down. Beat down. Dog, bullied, and straight up abused. Remember, we got rid of those worms yesterday. But that's because I asked God for an offensive position in this war. So a lot of things you hear me talk about, you don't have them. And maybe you do and don't know that you have them. But it doesn't matter. Because your position is going to have to be strong. And your position is going to have to be truthful. Now, what I'm talking about, truthful, to this extent right here, you're going to get hit. You're going to get some blows from the devil, some worse than others. But the bottom line is you will get less, will not be devastating if you're expecting them. It's like when a fighter, I would imagine, goes into the ring. He's going in the ring to fight, and he's going in the ring to win. But I think something called good sportsmanship says, and I think most athletes got to know this, you might lose. And if you lose, you just be prepared to be down but not out. And some things you're going to lose because, I mean, battles, some spiritual battles. Some spiritual battles, you're going to take some hits. Because in taking those hits, God's going to make you stronger. And God's going to make you wiser. And God's going to give you some understanding that you're not going to take that hit again. Are you supposed to get that understanding that you're not going to take that hit again? So, I mean, I got all kind of battle scars from the devil in this fight. But I know and I realize and I understand it's just a fight. Because either way it goes, I won. Either way it goes, I win. And if I win, I'm going to come back and fight another day. That's just, you know, I'm not the kind of person you want to pick a battle with because I'm going to fight you to the end. Because, see, I believe in my heart I'm a winner. And nobody's going to change that. Nobody's going to take that from me. Because you know what? The Bible says that I'm going to get a crown and that I'm not supposed to let anyone take my crown away from me. I remember going to the Holy Land Experience. Even before it was the Holy Land Experience, it was some people that had a museum there. So that land where the Holy Land Experience sits on is dedicated to God and was dedicated to God even before the Holy Land Experience ever got there. So when Jan and Paul Crouch bought the Holy Land, it wasn't called, I can't remember what they called it then. Maybe it was called the Holy Land. I can't remember. But anyway, it was there before they bought it. And it was dedicated to God, and it was not an amusement kind of place. It was a serious place, a museum. And then they bought it and made it more desirable for people to come there, and I love it. But the thing that I remember from going there after it became the Holy Land Experience was that Jan Crouch had the crown. And Jan Crouch was a pretty flamboyant, extravagant kind of person, but that was her personality. And I saw these beautiful little crowns, and I had taken, I used to take people to the Holy Land Experience that didn't know Jesus so that they could get, so that they could watch the Passion play enacted live by human beings. And I would take people there so that they could see an enactment of Jesus on the cross being crucified. And if you've never seen that, it will build your faith, because everything I do in my life is to connect and reconnect people to Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit. And some people are visual. Some people learn better by hearing. Some people, like me, I learn better by reading. If I can read it, I can understand it even better than visual. So I would take people to the Holy Land Experience, a visual reenactment of Jesus. And when they first opened it up, they had the reenactment of Jesus going through the Via Della Rosa, then being crucified on the cross, and then they had him coming out of the tomb, okay, alive. So I think, and they didn't have him as king then, but then they added, and they had this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful looking crown on his head. You know, I still didn't get it. Even although I would tell people, you know, about me getting an emerald or a gem, if they get a diamond, if I had anything to do with their experience with Jesus, and if they go out and be the next greatest soul winner that ever lived, I'm still going to be rewarded, and I'm all right with that. There's something that I didn't know, and I don't know if Pastor Krista knew this either. I found out when I came home that the very day God sent me up there to Paris, Kentucky, and I met Pastor Krista, who is a fruit of the Brownsville Revival, and she and her husband both went to the Brownsville School of Ministry, which is affiliated with the Assemblies of God. Guess what? The very day I was up there was the 65th birthday of Evangelist Steve Hill. Isn't that something? So it was almost like in tribute of his memory. So his wife, this video, it's on YouTube, but I don't know the name of it, because she she sent it to me directly, and she said that this was what she considered her husband's greatest preached message ever. So I thought, okay, I need to look at this. And brothers and sisters, the message was on the crown. The crown. The crown. And you know, I had heard that old Christian song, you know, you shall wear a crown. You should wear a golden crown. But it never really, really occurred to me. That message that his wife, it's up on YouTube. It brought me to tears. But that's the kind of impassioned preaching that this man, this evangelist, ministered in the kind of anointing he ministered in. And so I was thinking after all of this, how, knowing you're going to receive a crown, and this crown that he used is big and beautiful. And so I said to myself, if we're going to receive a crown like that in the world, do we have being ashamed of anything on this earth? And the Lord said, that's right, repent. I'm not laughing, I'm laughing at myself, and I'm laughing the way I have to get things. I mean, some people get stuff so easy, they say. I don't. It ain't easy for me. I have to go through some digging and searching and being made to look stupid. But when I get it, I got it all over me, all within me, all around me, and all about me. So when God gave me this word here, ashamed, and I told you I've been using it ever since I got saved and delivered. Because I realized back therein that Jesus said when he saved you, you're not going to be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed. And then I realized that, you know, God doesn't call you because you anything other than the fact that he loves you and he wants to make you and turn you into whatever he needs you to be, fit for a crown. So when the Lord gave me this word here and started putting it together, I don't know if it's together or not, but I know one thing. He gave this word to us on this fast. And I believe in my sanctified soul that if we had not done this fast, none of what is happening during this fast would have happened. The Bible says he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And his word says, They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. That's why I believe it. I can't help but believe it. To do anything other than believe it would be me slapping God in the face with my own unbelief. I believe it, and then I wait for God to give me the understanding of it. And if he never gives me the understanding of it, I still believe it if his word says it. Okay? So God got an issue, some kind of issue, with you and me being ashamed. There's absolutely, positively no valid reason for you to be ashamed of anything. You shouldn't be ashamed of your past because it's under the blood. You shouldn't be ashamed of your present because it's under the blood. And you certainly shouldn't be ashamed of your future because it's headed toward being crowned. What is all that saying, Erica? Well, I think I could be wrong, and I stand to be corrected. But I think it's confirming the fact of whether you believe it or not, whether you accept it or not, you are royalty. That's right. In the family of God, brothers and sisters, you are royalty. Why? Because you serve a king. Not only do you serve a king, you're related to the king. Woo! Think about that. You are related to the king. You moved into his kingdom. And you're just waiting for your coronation. Thought in mind. What do you have to be ashamed of? You have nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing. And if you done bought into that lie, you need to be delivered from that right away. Right away. You see, I thought about this thing. When I stepped on those grounds and looked down, it said, I got to get the name of that slave. It was a slave that wasn't ashamed of his belief in Christ. We don't know what it cost that slave or those slaves. But you can bet it wasn't anything good. But you see, that person may have been a slave in their physical body, but in their soul and in their spirit, they were free, brothers and sisters. They were free. The problem we have today is that so many of us are supposed to be and called to be free, but we enslaved and have been enslaved to stupid little lies. Lies. Lies of the one spirit, one force that cannot allow you or me to understand, realize, and step out in that kingship that we have inherited from our Father. Because you see, the Bible says over there in, I believe it's John 10:10. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. That when he lies, he's doing what his father did. His father was a liar. We don't serve. We don't serve anybody or anything or any way that we should have to be ashamed of it. We don't have to be ashamed. That's what sickness is for, to make you ashamed. That's what poverty is, you're ashamed. That's what sin is for, to make you ashamed. Brothers and sisters, you can't wear a crown and be ashamed. You know why? Because that crown gonna bring you in the spotlight. That crown, John 8:44, thank you. Crown is gonna draw attention to you. You cannot be ashamed and wear a crown. It just can't happen. And the Bible says that we're going to wear a crown. I'm talking about eternity now. God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed. One time I met this little girl, her name was Crystal. And she was really, really pretty. Little girl. Well, little girl, you know, 17, 18, something like that. And she wouldn't look you in the eye. And she talked with her head hung down. And so I asked her. Those are not good signs, by the way. So I asked her. I said, what's wrong? Nothing. I said, She said, I'm just shy. I said, okay, what does that mean? I don't assume nothing. She said, well, I'm ashamed because I'm so little. And I thought, wow, she was real petite, ballerina type. She said, yes. And I said, older. That's why she had to be older than that. Maybe she was, see, maybe she was about, I don't know, but she was older than that, now that I think about it. So I said to her, I said, well, how you doing in school? She was an A student. I said, okay. I said, do you play any sports? Anything like that? She said, no. She said, I'm not good in sports. So I said, well, what do you like to do? She said, I like to read. I said, okay, you like to read. I said, what do you like to read? She said, anything. I thought about myself. I used to sit up and read the encyclopedia. I used to read the dictionary. So I said, do you like to read because you envision yourself going into whatever it is you're reading about? And she said, yeah, I do that. How did you know? I said, well, I said, you know, the Holy Spirit knows everything and reveals. He'll reveal what you to know when you need it. And so she said, I said, well, what do you want Jesus to do for you? You know what she said, Kenline? She said, I don't want to be ashamed anymore. I'll never forget that. And I said, well, you don't have to be. She said, yes, I do. I said, what you mean? I said, and I remember she sang on the praise and worship team. I said, what you mean? By now, the Holy Spirit is telling me, listen up. Set my back up straight and I'm listening even closer. She said, I have to be ashamed as long as my father is alive. I said, oh, you think about killing him? Now, you might think that was a weird statement for me to make, but you don't know how many people I minister to that when I say, oh, you think about killing them, they say yes. And she said, can't do that because he's bigger than me and stronger than me. I said, bad word again, stronger than me. I said to her, do you have a secret? She said, yeah. I knew where she was getting ready to come from then. I said, where is your father? She pointed to him over there in the audience. He's sitting there looking proud and pompous. I said, tell your dad I'd like to have a word with him. So I said, don't tell him now. I said, I want to pray with you with him. That demon manifested in that girl, she told in front of that church up. Dad got up and tried to bust through the doors out to church. And I told the pastor, I said, don't let him go. Go get him. A man came back in there, confessed that he had been molesting that little girl ever since she was 3, and that he had busted her up from having, he could not let her have a boyfriend because she belonged to him. Now, I don't know if you know it, but I don't believe that there's any statute of limitations on that kind of stuff. And he knew that the devils, the familiar spirits in him, told him that it's up. She's going to tell that lady. And there was nothing he could do about it. And the fact that this girl was ashamed, it took her 4 years to get delivered and healed from that. So why are you telling me this story? Because there's another one of her listening to me this morning. And you've been walking around ashamed of this fact for a long time. And you've been walking around wouldn't tell anybody because fear, being ashamed, and all this kind of oppression works together, brothers and sisters. God does not make you ashamed. As a matter of fact, he frees you from all the spirits and all the bondage that works along with being ashamed. Now, some of you don't need this conversation this morning, but I'm talking to the ones that do. I'm talking to the ones that you're never going to be able to accomplish what God wants, desires, and has for you to accomplish until you get rid of the oppression that comes from being ashamed. Some people are ashamed of their mother for whatever reason. Other people are ashamed of their father, but it's still oppression. Some people are still walking around here with the fruit of being ashamed of being poor or being black or being Hispanic or being Indian coming from the untouchable side or being Native American or being whatever, Jewish. Some people bearing the guilt and the penalty because their people were Jewish and they hid it, changed their name so that nobody would know that they were Jewish. See, it's trending now, but there was a time when people had to hide that fact. Spirits operate and all that kind of stuff. Big time. Person ashamed and confounded. Confusion. They all work together. And people can transfer that stuff on you. When I found out that the spirit of schizophrenia can be transferred, I was blown away. I was blown away. Taking people through deliverance, and I found out that they had transference of spirits of schizophrenia. They were not schizophrenic. They were not born with that stuff, schizophrenia. They were not born with any chemical imbalance in their brain. They just happened to have a schizophrenic in their life, and it transferred on them, just like the same thing can happen when you live with a narcissist. When you live with a narcissist, all those narcissistic spirits will be transferred on you, and you will be acting narcissistic and schizophrenic and not even be aware of it because of transference of spirits, making you do things or act things and then making you ashamed of it. And you don't know why you did it, because it's not you. It's not your behavior. It's not how you do. And a lot of people take up relationships with men and women, and they know they're ashamed of what's in those people. And you know what? They think, well, you know, I got Jesus. It's not going to affect me. Wrong. It might not be affecting you where you are consciously aware of it, but let me tell you something. Transference of spirits affects you. Ashamed. That was the word the Lord gave me. Ashamed on you. And begin to operate against you in that way, and you won't even be aware of it. Because what goes with being ashamed? Ashamed. Shame. Hey, shame. Is ashamed. A-S-E-D. Shame is the root word. S-H-A-M-E. Shame. It does not honor God. Brings no glory to God for you to walk around here ashamed of what? If it's something you've done in your past, even, you're not supposed to be walking around here. You're not supposed to be walking around here with anything that can give the devil an open door to you. Psalm 31:17, let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Look at David. Became a king. Psalm 31:1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. You committed murder. You had an abortion. You think not telling anybody about it is going to relieve you of those murdering spirits, that guilt, and all of that. But yet and still, you walk around and your countenance is dark. Even when you stand up erect, your shoulders are bent in, brothers and sisters. It is not God's plan. It is not God's intention. How are you going to wear a crown? Ashamed. Psalm 25:20. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. The devil is a liar and the father of it. You cannot walk around with that stuff on you any longer, weighing you down. Psalm 25:2. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Cry. Let all that shame and stuff, let it be put on my enemies. That's what David prayed. You got family members full of demons. familiar spirits, demons. Talk to them. Tell them, put that stuff on you. And they did. And you had no, absolutely no reason to be ashamed of anything. And you've been walking around here ashamed of what? Psalm 60, verse 10, let all my enemies be ashamed and sore that turn and be ashamed suddenly. It ain't no glory in it. It ain't nothing in it that brings God honor. Job knew about that. Job knew a lot about it. Job 6:20, Job 11:3, Job 19:3. They came forward and were ashamed. Job 11:3, that was Job 6:20. Job 11:3, and when thou mockest, when you make fun, shall no man make you ashamed. Job 19:3, are not ashamed that you make yourself strange to me. In Ezra said, oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to you. For our iniquities are increased over our head and is grown up unto the heavens. He said, I'm ashamed. That is godly being ashamed. Brothers and sisters, this morning, shame rests in the countenance of a man or a woman. Shame rests on the feet, believe it or not, of a man or a woman. This morning, any and everything that you're ashamed of, that you've ever done, that you've ever spoken, that you've ever thought, it's time to get emptied of that stuff. It's time to get emptied of it this morning. Why don't you, of your own will, give God all your shame this morning. Give God everything in your life that you're ashamed of. Thing you're ashamed of this morning. Why don't you give that to God? So the devil can't work with you in that area anymore. We all got them, whatever they are. God wants to free your heart up this morning. God wants to free your soul so that the devil cannot torment you with that any longer. Remember, it started in the garden. It started in the garden with Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. It says, they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. You see, it didn't come from God. The guilt, the condemnation, it didn't come from God. It says that Adam and Eve were not ashamed. But immediately after they sinned, grabbed something and tried to cover up their nakedness. You know why? Because before God, they were naked. This thing you've been ashamed of, these things, God was observing them, and he'd been observing them all the time. Psalm 69:6. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. This morning, so your mama was a witch and your daddy was a witch. It ain't nothing you got to be ashamed of, and you don't have to bury that burden. You're a brand new creature. You've been born again, born unto God for good works. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. When you are living and walking under spirits and things that you were ashamed of, they drive you backwards. It drives you backwards. Progress and you can't go forward. Well, Erica, is that the truth? Psalm 40:14. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. That's a curse. And you know what? A lot of people are suffering the consequences of this here right now. But today, today, you could be free. Because Psalm 35:26 says, let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at my hurt. That's all them folks that tried to put that shame and make you ashamed. They're going to be clothed with shame and dishonor because they magnified themselves against God's anointed. Because God says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. The wicked are supposed to be ashamed, but not you. Not you, because the banner that you walk under is just like King David. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed and deliver me in your righteousness. See, you got to come into agreement with the word of God. Psalm 25:20, oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Psalm 25:3, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Psalm 6:10. Let all my enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. That's for your enemies, not you. Oh, it's a good day this morning. Shame. The Lord God rebuke you. Ashamed. The Lord God rebuke you. I want you to repent this morning for every time you allowed that devil to put a shame and shame on you. For every time your spirit was opened up to receive that shame. Remember, it doesn't come from God. Because Psalm 25:3 says, let none that wait on the Lord be ashamed. It's not for you, and it's not for me. It's for our enemies. Father God, this morning, remove from us any of them worms, any of them wormholes, any of that filth, infectious, rotting filth from being ashamed. Deliver us this morning from our own secret shame as we bring that before you and ask you to forgive us so that it can never torment us again. See the worms shooting out right now. I see some worms. I see some worms leaving somebody's body only there because you had shame and you were ashamed. And you were so ashamed, you wouldn't even give it to Jesus. But today, Jesus is forcing them worms out them wormholes. And he's healing all their damage. He's driving them parasites out of you. According to his own sovereign will. According to his for your life. He is delivering you this morning from all them worms. He is debriding the wormholes, cutting off all that filth so that new flesh, new soul, them holes with himself. No more wormholes. No more worms from being ashamed. Why don't you release them right now? Give them up. Let them go. So Jesus can heal all them wormholes. Put on you by other people. Put on you by the devil. Put on you. Dug deep. And some of you, even to the point the other little worms grew from that one worm, maggots. But guess what? God used maggots but he's removing them from you. You see, brothers and sisters, I see my sister here put, I know I am forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. But guess what? Now comes the healing and the refilling. Because now the Spirit, because of those worms have been cast out. You see, brothers and sisters, there's a deeper work God has to do in some people.
And he's doing it. He's doing it. Thank God for forgiveness. And thank him for delivering you too. Peter was forgiven. Peter was forgiven. When the cock crowed three times, the prophecy of Jesus came to pass. When Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times when the cock crowed. But, hallelujah, after Jesus' resurrection from the dead, he said, go call my disciples and Peter. Why? Because a threefold restoration had to take place in Peter. Peter denied him three times. Jesus said, follow me. Peter! Love me. Peter said, yes. Yes. The second time he said, Lord, you know I love you. Why do you keep asking me? Jesus didn't say it, but he said, Peter, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And then he said, feed my lambs. Repentance and restoration, brothers and sisters, go together. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory this morning. Empty us, God, and fill us. Hey, thank you for being on the 10 line with me this morning. Be filled and refilled and renewed and refreshed.
I'm going to be like my granddaddy one day.
I want the best wine. I'm going to sing this song. It goes like this. Listen.
Holy fire, burn away. That thing that is not of you and is of me. I want more of you and less of me. Yes. Empty me.
This is a song that my father-in-law wrote. The title of the song is You Keep On Blessing Me. Over and over again. Come on, y'all.
Over and over again.
Here we go. Come
Let's
on.
Try to clap your hands. Come on.
Woo! Oh, yeah.
blessing me.
You keep on 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 blessing me.